This is MuggleCast, your Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts podcast covering everything about J.K. Rowling's magical world. This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/MuggleCast. Welcome to MuggleCast episode 277. Micah, Eric, and Matt are all here for today's April episode. Hello,
Matt
gentlemen.
Matt Britton!
Hey! Oh my god, that opening. Oh, I haven't heard that in so long. It's so
Never
sad.
Gets old, though, right?
Well, it did, yeah, but it doesn't anymore.
It's a classic.
Oh my god, this is episode 277?
Yes. Wow. Yes, there's been a lot of MuggleCast. There's been hours upon hours of MuggleCast, years and years. So as everybody knows now, we're doing our monthly episodes, which is very exciting for everybody. And it worked out good this week because we have some news about Fantastic Beasts, some big news. And we're going to talk about that first today. But I also want to mention today we're going to do some This Month in Harry Potter History. Matt came up with a fun segment I think everybody's going to like. We got some good news about the illustrated editions, and Mike is going to rave about Game of Thrones. So it's a very exciting episode.
Well, we do that every episode, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But I just want to, you know, for the listeners, Matt, what have you been up to? How have you been? It's good to know you're still alive.
Yeah. I mean, so far, yeah, nothing's happened. I've been doing good. I still live in Los Angeles. I am currently doing a podcast with Andrew and formerly you, Micah.
And I appreciate the tribute that you made to me on my last episode. I didn't get a chance to say that to you, I don't think, because you
Oh yeah,
you
I wasn't
absent.
Even there. I'm glad you liked it.
I do appreciate it. Yeah, it was.
Did you like
nice.
My painting? Of you being drawn like one of Jack's French girls from Titanic.
I didn't see that yet.
I need to
you
see
didn't
this.
You
yes you have you had to have seen it.
You're gonna
it's
leave
so
the internet when you see that. you're gonna quit.
No, I'm
the
serious.
Internet.
I haven't seen it, so okay. Send over a link at some point.
You're gonna hate it.
Shut up. I'll text him right now. So. Yeah, other than that, I've been working on my career as an actor and comedian. It's not cheap, but it is fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and like Matt mentioned, he's on Millennial, which is millennialshow.com if you want to check that out. So let's talk about Eddie Redmayne. We found out on Friday that he is Warner Brothers' top pick for Newt Scamander. In their Harry Potter spinoff series. It was interesting that it was exciting that we're like, this is the announcement I think everybody's been really waiting for. And while this isn't an announcement, he is Warner Brothers' top pick. And the problem right now, the holdup, is that J.K. Rowling, we actually learned on Friday, is still working on the script. So, and he hasn't read it yet. But I guess he's had a couple of meetings maybe with David Yates, and they're down for working together. Apparently, according to one report, it's Eddie's to lose. So in other words, he'll get it if he wants it. It's just a matter of J.K. Rowling finishing the script and then him reading it and being like, okay, I'm good for this. Mm-hmm. So what were your guys' first reaction to this prestigious actor? He is British, and he's 33, by the way. So,
Obviously people may have known him before he was Marius in Les Mis, the recent Les Mis with Hugh Jackman. But I didn't know him much before that. I saw him in a movie called My Week with Marilyn, where he played the lover of Marilyn Monroe. Kind of like a hopeful, I think he works in like the wardrobe department. He's like an intern who happens to, spot Marilyn, on a film set and develops a relationship with her. But it was just like this not known indie film that he was in. And I thought he had some pretty good acting chops. And that was before I heard him sing in Les Mis and stuff. So I know I like the guy. I actually just genuinely like the guy. I haven't seen Jupiter Ascending. Apparently, if you see Jupiter Ascending, it's hit or miss on whether or not you still want to see this guy do anything.
I'm going to guess miss the movie on a whole.
Les Mis, maybe. But no, I think that I like him as much or more than any of the other contenders that have been that I've heard are like either up for the role or fans want them for the role. I think he's just fine.
I think he's amazing. I think it's the perfect choice for right now. He just won an Oscar. He was in My Theory of Everything, which he was amazing in. He's doing this new movie that I'm really excited for too. It's called The Danish Girl, where he plays a transgendered man whose relationship with his wife gets just changed throughout life. It's looking amazing. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like he's relatively young. He's in his early 30s. And there's really no other actor around that age that has that kind of caliber or trend that he has at this point. So I think it's a really smart move.
Part of the problem with saying if he's good or not is that we don't know who Newt is, really.
Right.
But the impression I think we've gotten is that the character is going to be late 20s, early 30s in terms of his age. So in terms of that, he fits the bill.
Mm-hmm. But this is going to be the first time that we cast a main character in the Harry Potter universe that has proven himself as a well-established and talented actor.
Well, yeah, how do you mean? Because the British films, I mean, the Harry Potter films are full of high caliber British actors.
Yes, but they are also secondary characters. They're not the main cast.
Oh, right, right. So you're talking about, yeah, the weight of this series will fall onto his shoulders instead of the shoulders of three children.
Exactly. And it could also mean that this movie will be a lot more, the series, it is going to be a trilogy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
At least.
So this,
yeah.
Okay, well, this new series is going to possibly be a lot more intimate because we won't have to rely on a larger caliber of cast, because if they're adding very talented, already established actors, there can be more less of a reliance on a bigger cast with a higher caliber of actors.
It turns out that Eddie is actually a big Harry Potter fan. I did a little Googling after this was announced, and
shocking.
Last year, well, yeah, okay, so everybody's a Harry Potter fan. But what was interesting is that earlier this year on the Graham Norton show, he was talking, and Graham asked him about trying for a role in The Hobbit, and then he actually hinted that he also really wanted to be in Harry Potter. So let me just play a clip from this real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, God. For a few years there were the Harry Potter films. There was a whole family of ginger people, and I thought somehow I might be part of that at some point. Never happened.
So just a little bit there, but apparently he really wanted to play a Weasley boy.
Oh man, he'd be a cool Bill Weasley, right?
Yeah, I could see him as Bill Weasley totally.
Although I do like Domhnall Gleeson too, quite a bit. Mm-hmm. He's coming up in Star Wars. So the question I have for you guys then, following Matt's analysis just kind of to the next level then, is Eddie Redmayne too good for a Harry Potter role? I mean, he just came off an Oscar-winning performance as Stephen Hawking, one of the brightest minds, if not the brightest mind of our time, that now, you know, with the Danish girl playing a transgender man, obviously very, very, very excellent, high quality, good film that's going to get a lot of attention, a lot of respect for him. Isn't it kind of a backward step to go and be part of this kitschy, very highly sought after blockbuster, you know, kind of fantasy film? I mean that in like the least offensive way. Okay, I'm going to love this movie. I know it. But isn't it a back step? Like, couldn't he equally, just as likely say, you know, actually, I'm going on for more, you know, more of that serious work.
Some actors shy away from these big franchise films, especially after they've done a franchise. And I don't think Eddie has really done that yet. So I think that works in his favor. Mm-hmm. It is risky. I mean, he could be responsible for ruining the Harry Potter world.
Oh, God, no.
If it's really bad.
I would blame him. Eddie, if you take this role, I won't blame you.
But I think... also plays into the my too big to fail theory, is they want a big name actor for this. I would have liked to see an unknown take this role, like Dan Radcliffe, Emma Watson, Rupert Grint when they first joined on, because it would be more interesting, sort of like how we wished some of us wished David Yates was not directing. We wanted to see a fresh person come into it.
Right.
But yeah, I think this is just another step in WB's plan to make sure it's a big hit.
I think you're right, Andrew, what you said at the very end. It's also kind of pushing into new territory with the Harry Potter world, but with this story, because it hasn't been written. It's going to be an original screenplay by the actual author, J.K. Rowling, but they kind of want to have, like, at least, the kind just a concrete, like, at least some kind of promise that it's going to be well acted, and the actor who is very good at method acting is going to find a way to even make this character come alive and more three-dimensional for the audience.
I mean, the Harry Potter films, all eight of them, did not win a single Oscar. So so here Eddie Redmayne has more accolades than the entire first eight Harry Potter films. There's BAFTAs in there somewhere, but I mean, Oscar wise, as far as the Academy is concerned,
right,
this one man has achieved more already.
Right.
So
that's very true, Eric. The movie series has not been driven by acting as opposed to the story itself and the special effects.
I can see the trailer change. Now. Oscar winning actor Eddie Redmayne.
Right.
Rich as hell author J.K. Rowling.
Who knows? They may be going that direction, like with this film, and make it, his insight into the world. There's so many good reasons to see this movie when it finally comes out. It's a period piece, and it follows a guy who we don't know, and it's set in America. So there's three reasons right there. But I mean, maybe they'll be doing that. Maybe that's the route that they want to go to get an accredited actor.
I think Andrew brought up the best point in that we don't know really who Newt is. So it's hard to look at any actor that's going to play him and judge whether or not they're going to do a good job of it or not, because we don't have any context around really him or any of the other characters that are going to be cast in this film. So when we see names of actors and actresses that are going to be portraying these roles, mm-hmm. it's hard to really judge, because we don't know. Is this a dark character? Is it a humorous character? Is it? We don't have that level of context.
We just have his house, right? He's a Hufflepuff,
right?
So he's probably
that's
not
all
dark.
We know. Is Eddie Redmayne a Hufflepuff? Take the quiz, Eddie. We need to know.
Oh, yeah, we got to get him to take the quiz. I want to talk. Right. The Variety article also mentions at least Nicholas Holt as being like one of the former contenders, that kind of thing. Yeah. Or I don't think they use former contender, because that implies he's not still in the running, but still, like, Nicholas Holt, I actually know a little bit more of, because he's starred in the X-Men movies. He plays Beast in the new, like, First Class, and
he's going to be in Mad Max too. That's
and he's
amazing.
Now the he's going to be the star of the new Mad Max. So he's definitely more in the blockbuster thing. I actually first saw him in Warm Bodies.
Yes,
he was totally great.
I wanted to bring that up. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Wasn't he Jack in Jack the Giant Slayer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's yep. him.
So this
yeah.
seems like more his type of – his cup of tea for roles. But I guess I'd like to see – and again, I haven't seen Jupiter as any, but I'd like to see Eddie do a fantasy. I think that would
– Yeah,
like...
and he's ginger. So the Harry Potter fans, they eat that up.
Let's pause for a second. We're going to talk about a couple other characters – we're finding out for the first time, we're hearing about for the first time, thanks to this report about Eddie Redmayne. But first, we just want to remind everybody that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of MuggleCast, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their great service. And today, I want to recommend, shout out to Micah again, and Eric, well, and really every human on the earth, any Game
sorry,
of Thrones
am I allowed
book.
To laugh in the ad?
No, you can. It's fine.
But, all right. This is a great time here. We're doing the Audible ad.
But Micah, what Game of Thrones book would you like to recommend everybody check out on Audible for free?
All of them. No. I think that the one that would follow in sequence with what has gone on in the TV show is A Feast for Crows. Not entirely sure that that is the direction the show is going in. But given that a lot of the plot has already been developed on the show from A Storm of Swords, the next in line is A Feast for Crows, followed by A Dance with Dragons. So if you haven't read either of those books, head on over to audible.com and download them for free.
Yeah, audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast is where you can get the free audiobook courtesy of MuggleCast. And now's a great time to try it. Spring is in the air. We're outside more.
Allergies are all over the place.
Yeah.
It's great.
Don't carry a book. Just listen in your earbuds after MuggleCast, of course. audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast. So jumping back to Eddie Redmayne now. So I was excited about this little tidbit. We also found out that they are going to cast Newt's two sisters, their parents, and somebody called Jacob. That's all we know about Jacob. He's just somebody called Jacob. Now, at least so I read Oh No, They Didn't's report on this. They're already hoping that Jacob is the lover of Newt, which I would love.
played by Taylor Lautner.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean there's not much to say, because again, we don't know this story, what mm-hmm. this story is going to be at all, but we know that Newt's family is going to play into this somehow.
It's interesting, because like I just imagine he's away from home. How could his immediate, you know, family have a role to play?
Right.
Well, that's what I'm kind of excited for too, about this Jacob character, especially because it's obvious that Jacob's going to be like his companion or his best friend along the road.
Or his lover.
Yeah.
His nemesis.
Like he's
Lord Jacob.
Jacob. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What if Jacob has a rival like book that he's working on? I will report on all the enemies.
I'm going to report on Quidditch through the ages.
Yeah, cool beasts and where to discover them.
But yeah. On a selfish kind of standpoint, I would hope that Jacob would be his friend that he meets in America, so we could see an American character in this kind of universe. And like, since it's set in the U.S., I mean, I think the possibility is pretty good.
And that'll be the first time we'll have a American character in the Harry Potter stories, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jacob sounds like an American name. That's not a British name, right?
No, it's a very American name.
10 Jacobs are going to write in. Hello, Andrew. Yeah,
as Americans, we say, oh, yeah, it's an American name.
I guess having a family, well, maybe I'm overthinking it, but maybe this story could have more of a family element to it than the Harry Potter books did. Like in terms of the nuclear family,
because he's not an orphan,
right? Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah. Hey, his parents are alive. Woo!
Yeah, yeah, they're coming over to visit. Oh, yeah. What if like Newt has to entertain his folks for a week in New York in the 20s when they
Mom and Dad,
when all hell breaks
loose?
Right? It's just like you're. But I thought, and just going what we know of the character's backstory through other, whether it's Pottermore, other means, like there was a period of time where. He traveled basically, I don't know if you can call it safari if it's not to Africa. That's my ignorance speaking. But he's on like a safari, on like a concentrated trip across the world to write this book. And my early impression of the plot was like that, you know, he was traveling. When you travel like that, you're kind of doing it alone. Like Charles Darwin, to write Origin of the Species, may have had a few assistants. But I mean, he took himself out of the main world to go and observe animals for years before writing that book. And that's what I compare this book to. I know it's quite high, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved the first part in Deathly Hallows when they were on the road. Mm-hmm. And I think it really added something to even the movies too, that it was kind of like just them on their own. So I think J.K. Rowling writes really good dialogue when it comes to that kind of story driven, when it's not necessarily based on like exciting plot points too. It's mostly about the characters, which is why I think they need a good actor to in the films to kind of hold that.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
Now remember J.K. Rowling's little synopsis that she released a few months ago says Newt Scamander only meant to stay in New York for a few hours. So
yeah,
if I were to speculate wildly in terms of the family, I would say the family is missing Newt because he's staying in New York longer than he intended.
Well, do we even know for sure that it's going to be in the U.S. for a majority of the story? I mean, the way it's that
set, they've said set in 1920s New York. So I think the majority of it, is it going to start there? Like, is it going to open up in New York? I kind of doubt that.
I think it's just I honestly think it's going to just start in New York City, or at least have like the beginning of this whole trilogy, what have you, in the city. But if he's going to be finding fantastic beasts, like, he's got to go to other places besides the metropolitan city of New York.
Yeah, I think we once speculated.
Come on now. you've been to New York. We have plenty of weirdos.
Yeah, but non-human animals I'm talking about.
Okay.
Thanks for clarifying.
I think we've talked about this a little bit on past episodes, the possibility of where these fantastic beasts could live in New York City.
Right.
Central Park is definitely up there. You know, some of the different train stations and other areas that are in and around New York. And certainly,
if you've ever seen a New York rat in the subway, that's a fantastic beast.
Yeah.
At the Apple Store, that's another place I think he's going to find some.
Which was definitely around in the 1920s.
Yep.
It's going to be great. I was going to say you'd find Voltorb there because it's electronics, but that's more like Pokemon. So never mind.
But I think we also speculated that, or maybe it was me, that each film could be set in a different place. So this one's New York. In the next film, he's going somewhere else to go find beasts. And then in the third, he's somewhere else.
Like Italy. Yeah. Like James Bond, where they always do an exotic location.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be cool. Great seeing like witches in flapper girl clothes with wands. It's going to be great for the wardrobe department in Warner Brothers.
I'd prefer this weren't a family movie, to be honest.
Now, one question I did want to ask, though, and I guess maybe more so for Matt or even you, Andrew, is knowing that J.K. Rowling has yet to finish the script, she has a little bit of George R. R. Martin syndrome, it seems like, in terms of being able to write quick enough. Mm-hmm. This movie is slated to be released next year, right?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
So how fast are they going to have to film this thing?
Usually it could take, you know, the typical shoot for a movie is 30 days for principal photography. But I honestly think that they will they might just split this movie into two movies and make it a trilogy.
Oh, God.
But no. We don't know by how much J.K. Rowling has written. She could be pretty much done. She's just editing it. We don't know. And that there's no way that she hasn't told the studio what the story is about from beginning to end. I think it's mainly just fine details that she's trying to work out.
Well, she needs to stop taking trips to New York and lighting up the Empire State Building.
You're just mad that she didn't invite you over for beer.
These just sound like excuses that Game of Thrones fans are saying to their author.
But we already know that they're planning to film in late summer, so I don't think they're behind at any point.
Okay,
but
I was just asking the question.
Okay.
Yeah, I think once it starts all at the same time. Like,
yeah, we're going to be here.
Once they go, they're going to go hard. So,
like I've said, casting is going to be really interesting because hopefully we're going to get some descriptions about these characters when these reports about who they're like, you know, when we find out who plays Jacob, we're going to get like maybe a sentence about who he plays or who the character is.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to keep casting even around the time when they even start filming. Like they did that with Lord of the Rings. They actually cast Viggo Mortensen while they were filming because they made a change because the actor that they did cast was too young. So
was
they
Stuart Townsend?
Yeah, it was Stuart Townsend, yeah. So yeah.
Let's move on until next month. Well, actually later this episode we asked our followers on Twitter and Facebook what they think of Eddie Redmayne, and we'll discuss that later on. So a couple other news stories to discuss this week. First of all, we know that the Harry Potter illustrated editions are coming. The first one is coming out later this year in October. And for the first time, we're getting a look inside the illustrated editions. And we've previously speculated like how these are going to look. We already knew there's going to be over 100 illustrations in the first book, which is really great. And now we're seeing the inside. And
gosh,
they are just beautiful.
They're amazing. I haven't seen these yet.
So there's the pages do look much bigger than a standard Harry Potter book, and there are two columns on each page. And there's just a lot of spacing around the text, and a lot of the pages share, like, you know, 50% illustration, 50% text, and they just look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, this one of Hagrid, right, and Dudley just creating the pig's tail, and one of his slippers has fallen off, one of his crocodile or alligator slippers has fallen off. Like, this is beautiful.
Yeah. I cannot wait to reread the books. Like, this is going to be so fun. And I'm not going to skim through this book, like, at the store, like, just look at all the illustrations. I want to buy it and then only look at the illustrations as I'm reading.
This is the most added value that they have been able to do for any of the Harry Potter books since they were first published.
I agree.
When is this book being released?
October.
Shoot.
And, there's going to be one released every year, I guess every October. And have we spoken about the cover yet on this show? I don't think we have. So
maybe not.
So the cover came out as well for the Sorcerer's Stone Illustrated Edition. And I love it because it is a complete reimagination. It features the Hogwarts Express. But the Hogwarts Express is not how you've seen it before in the movies or even the books. It's been inspired by a dragon. It has kind of like wings. It's got a dragon head on the top of the smokestack. It's got these like, I don't know what you would call them, on this, like, on the spine.
Palm trees?
What?
At the front of the
Those
probably aren't pine trees.
You know, it's funny because I was looking at the cover of the Philosophers and Sorcerers, and the Sorcerers actually covered up that dragon because the font is bigger. You know what I'm saying?
That.
I love it because I hate that. I don't know what the hell that dragon thing is.
Oh, you don't like it?
I'm not a big fan of this redesign.
See, I like it because it's surprising. Like, if we were just going to be looking through the illustrated editions and it's like more of what we've seen a million times, that makes it less thrilling. But surprises like this, I think, are awesome.
I will actually agree with you. And I'm sure the thing that has like a dog head is like a proper, like, that they adorn trains with, like a mast of a ship where they'll just get creative with it. But,
well, that boar is also at the, that's a boar, right? Or I don't know what kind of creature that is.
Wing boar, yeah.
Okay, so that thing is also in the front of Hogwarts Castle at the Winged Boar, Harry Potter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a cool reference.
The boar looks cool. It looks like that. It looks like the, like, Batman's train. It looks like the Bat train.
Yeah, it does.
But just those spoilers in the front are very bat. Are very bad. But that's so funny. I was relieved that it didn't say on the front of it 5972, right? Because that is a movie-ism that just the train that they happened to get that they turned into the Hogwarts Express was the number 5972.
Oh, really? Hmm.
West Coast Railways 5972, steam-powered locomotive Olden Hall, I think it was called. But anyway, that's 5972. So now when you see like Lego Hogwarts Express, and even in I think the Lego games, even in the movies, you know, in the movies, but also like anywhere else, it's always those numbers 5972, and it's nowhere in the book. So I get really like angry about it, but I'm glad that that didn't make the transfer back to book. So that's just me.
Like Micah mentioned, or Eric mentioned, J.K. Rowling was in New York this past week. She was launching the United States arm of her Lumos charity campaign. And while she was there, she did an interview with Matt Lauer of the Today Show. Unfortunately, it was a big fluff piece. There's another part of the interview coming out tomorrow, but I'm not expecting any fireworks. But of course, Matt Lauer had to ask the question that everybody's asked her a billion times, which is that, are you going to write another Harry Potter book? And of course, J.K. Rowling gave the same answer she always does. She says, you know, I've always said I'm not going to say I definitely won't because I don't see why I should say that. It's my world and I might choose to step back into it. And in a way, I am stepping back into it with Fantastic Beasts. And then she said, I think Harry Potter 8, as in what happened next to Harry, Ron, and Hermione, I don't think that's going to happen. Hmm. And then she said, but even as I answer that, I know that someone's cutting this on YouTube to make it as though I gave you hope, which is hilarious because the Today Show cut it They wrote a headline that made it sound like, you know, she was
getting help. That's super funny.
Their headline was, "Will J.K. Rowling return to Harry Potter? I'm not going to say I definitely won't."
That was the read the Today Show's headline. Oh, God.
So
that's the problem with that, though. As fans of the series, do we want that to even happen?
Right.
I feel like we have closure. We know that they're safe. They're happy. They have families. There's no reason to continue his story. And I don't understand why people still ask the question.
And then the media jumps on this, and it's so annoying. You know, Entertainment Weekly said this on Facebook. More Harry Potter is not out of the question.
We already knew this.
Yeah.
You know, you run the risk of actually destroying the franchise when you keep prolonging this, especially if you do sequels. Even if you do prequels. I mean, this Fantastic Beasts thing seems to be an original story, which is okay. Like, I'll give her that. But when you add extra things to, like, a beginning and an end, when there is an end, like, you have to finish there. You can't continue. It's just like when you do with I was gonna say Lost, but Star Wars too. Like, Star Wars is a perfect example.
But J.K. Rowling, you know, she's not the one floating these rumors. It's everybody else. And like I point out in this article on Hypeable, why everybody should start asking the question, you know, when are we getting a Marauder series? Don't ask Harry Potter 8. Ask Marauders. Ask, you know, a Weasley spinoff. I don't know. Anything but an 8th Harry Potter book. Mm-hmm. Or how about the Encyclopedia?
She should just start answering, Harry's dead. Don't you know that?
Harry. Yeah.
Or she should just rewrite the series and have Harry and Hermione end up together and Ginny dies and Severus becomes gay. And it's just, I think it's
Severus
great.
And Dumbledore
just to bait
together.
The press. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's safe to say, we can say without doubt that she is never writing Harry Potter 8, right?
Not in that configuration. God, yeah, won't be Harry Potter 8.
Right.
No, this is our series. I don't want new people like getting in on it. I just want it ours in the way it is.
This is our thing.
This is our thing.
So that's it for news. Matt has a fun segment for us to play this week. Why don't you set it up?
Oh, my God, we're already there. Okay, yeah. So I just thought about doing this little fun segment where you have to guess which quote that I read is by Albus Dumbledore or by a famous quote from a famous person.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I got a few of them. Let me pull them up. I try to make them a little ambiguous, but, you know, this is from a Wizarding World. So
this is kind of like a special edition of Quote Quiz, 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 isn't it?
Right.
What? Oh, I miss Quote Quiz. Oh, my God. Eric. Oh, okay. So, all right, so here we go. Should I make a tally, do you think? Because I got a few
track.
Of them. Okay. No, because you're going to lie.
No, what?
Because you're playing this game.
I'm
no, I don't
lie.
All right. Okay, I got something. You can just worry about the quote. And no cheating. Okay. First one. Here we go.
Micah. It is my... Wait, who's guessing?
Everybody.
Oh, okay.
Or do you want me to just do one person at a time?
I think one person at a time.
Okay.
Well, just because otherwise, well, go ahead. We can do it your way. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I don't have that many. So, okay. So the first one is, it is my belief that the truth is generally preferable to lies.
Okay.
I think that was not Dumbledore. Who that was, I don't know.
Okay. Eric?
Yeah, I'm going to – that's a good one. I like that you pulled that because I'm like, But knowing that Dumbledore lied to Harry his whole freaking life, I'm going to choose that he's – I'm going to choose to guess. And it's only a guess that he's not that big of a hypocrite and that he probably wouldn't say something like that. So I'm going to say no. But I like it. I think it's close. I think it makes me think.
Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with the other two.
Okay. Neither of you were right. It was Albus
what?
Dumbledore.
It was what? Albus Dumbledore.
That was from the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, gosh.
So he hasn't lied to Harry yet. So
I guess. Oh, that escapes. That goes right through all the rules. Okay.
All right. Next one. We become what we think about.
Not.
Yeah, there you go. All right. All right. That was Earl Nightingale.
Ooh.
I have no idea who he is. and I probably should, and a lot of the listeners may hate me now.
Look him up now. So,
okay. I'm sorry. If you were right, I'd agree with you.
No.
Yes, I'm going to say yes.
I'll say no.
All right. Eric and Micah were right. Oh. It was Robin Williams.
Oh. All
right. So let me choose one. All right. So to the well-organized mind, death is but the Double next door. Great adventure.
Oh, shit. Oh, we breached.
Guess we know the right answer to that one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you guys were.
That spoiled it.
Okay.
Although that quote also sounds like something from a Robin Williams movie. Hook, right? This is like death.
Yeah.
This is but yeah, that'd be next great adventure.
Yeah, death is but the next great adventure. That's from Peter Pan.
To die would be the great adventure.
Let me see. All right. So
or to live. Sorry, I misquoted.
We are all born mad. Some remain so.
Robin Williams.
Let's play. Is this a Robin Williams quote or not? No, I would say no.
Okay. I'm gonna say Dumbledore.
Okay.
My answer is no, because of Robin Williams.
All right. It was not Albus. It was Samuel Beckett.
Ooh.
Who said that.
Okay.
One time. More. Okay. The truth is a beautiful and terrible thing and should therefore be treated with caution.
That sounds like Dumbledore to me.
I think so, too.
I don't think so.
All right. It was Albus.
Yes.
Ooh. All right. Looks like Eric won, guys.
Oh, gosh.
Congrats, Eric.
Yeah. Well, you Andrew, do you still want to be finished? Do you want to keep going?
No, that's okay. I'll accept defeat.
No, I was that's a really good, that's really well done, Matt. That's confusing.
Yeah. I thought this would be a lot harder to do, but he's a pretty ambiguous guy.
Was that last quote from Half-Blood Prince?
Which one did I read again? No, it wasn't. I think it was it was actually. It was
a terrible thing which must be treated with. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, that was.
I may have just read that the other day because we're going through book six on Alohomora podcast. But
most of these were Half Blood Prince. Well, yeah, duh, because that's where we see Dumbledore the most.
Oh yeah, that's true too. I guess.
No, I think it's Sorcerer's Stone. I just googled it.
Huh.
Truth, Dumbledore sighed. It is a beautiful and terrible thing and should therefore be treated with great caution. That's what you read, right?
Oh, he's probably talking about what Erised or...
Yeah, probably. Probably.
That's interesting.
Okay. So, it's time now for this month in Harry Potter history.
Woo-hoo!
These are kind of challenging to find because I've yet to find, like, a Harry Potter timeline that sort of has everything.
Mm-hmm.
So these segments are by no means complete, but I try to find the biggest things. This I think is the mother of all ... in history thing. Mm-hmm. April 1997, Arthur A. Levine from the Scholastic Corporation won the rights for $105,000, the rights to publish Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
More than Levine had ever paid any author, let alone a first-time novelist. So
that was a heck of a gamble. Yeah. How it paid off.
Yeah,
best $105,000 I've ever spent.
It's funny now. Sometimes you hear headlines like, "Oh, this publisher just spent a ton of money on an unknown author. It's going to be the next Harry Potter," and then it never is.
Mm.
Like a recent example I can think of is Queen of the Tearling.
Oh yeah,
everybody was really excited about that. Apparently, Emma Watson was going to star in it. I mean,
wow.
And Warner Brothers is doing this with David Heyman producing. We've talked about it on the show before.
Yeah, I've heard the name before.
Definitely. Yeah, so Erica Jo Hansen, that was the author, and apparently the publisher paid a lot of money, but it just didn't take off.
Well, it can't all be hits. I mean, even measuring the success of, I mean, they tried to do the His Dark Materials movie, right? The Golden Compass came out, but they never followed this up. The Narnia films, which I still love, I was surprised to find that they had actually done Dawn Treader after Caspian, because I thought Caspian didn't do well, but I loved Dawn Treader. But they've kind of stopped doing those movies. And even measuring the success of Twilight or Hunger Games or Insurgent, or sorry, Divergent, which is still coming out, to weigh it against Harry Potter once it's finished. I wonder how it'll compare.
Like the longevity of the series?
Yeah, like longevity, profit, probably adjusted because the money's always...
Well, I mean, let's compare it to Twilight, too. Like, mm-hmm. Twilight was huge. Like, it was massive. And now...
But it's kind of like in the shadow of Harry, right? But then one has lasted longer than the other?
I don't even think it's really, like, the shadow effect. I think it's also... Since Harry Potter and... I would compare Harry Potter to Lord of the Rings as, like, something that...
stands the test of time.
It will stand the test of time because it will be. I know Harry Potter will definitely be remade, whether it's in like 80 to 100 years, but there is no doubt in my mind that Harry Potter will be at least rebooted of some sort, especially Hollywood, if they got their hands on it. And it's going to stay within like society and our culture from our generation at the very least. So. Mm-hmm.
Twilight won't.
Yeah, those were young. I mean, this is kind of like a new thing with young adult books being made into films, into trilogies, into trilogies from just one book or something. Yeah. Yeah, it's a trend that started really with Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, also in the timeline here, April 2012, Pottermore, our favorite website, opened to the public following a beta period.
Yeah.
And much hype. But it's been quiet on the Pottermore front lately.
Hmm.
We're waiting for Deathly Hallows now. And
so Pottermore is close to ending.
Yeah.
And it's been 3 years.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to drop it all at once. Like, you know, I guess they did that with Half-Blood Prince, I think.
Hmm.
And then also in April 2012, J.K. Rowling announced her first post-Potter book, The Casual Vacancy.
Ayo.
I still have it. And I still have not opened it.
I have a confession. I tried to sell it a couple weeks ago.
What?
One of those stores that buys books.
A signed copy?
Too shame. First of all, that you tried to sell it. But second of all, that you were unsuccessful in selling
it. Yeah, they wouldn't even accept it. They were like, no, we don't want this. It's one of those book exchange places where you can take books in and they'll buy.
Yeah,
and they didn't take it. I was actually really surprised.
Your book is no good here.
They probably have already a few of them.
Maybe, but sometimes they'll, I don't know.
Well, you know, winter's over. They don't need to burn anything for fire anymore.
So,
well, actually tied into that, I know you have it a little bit further down here, but the fact that it's going to be on HBO on April 29th.
Yeah.
And for me, I've read the book. I don't have a very strong recollection of everything that's happened in it. And I would find it very difficult to do a reread. Because it is a very kind of slow moving pace to it. It picks up at different parts, but I just don't know if I can put myself through reading that book again. It's very dark.
Yeah.
And it's just a difficult read. It's certainly not in any way the style that Harry Potter was written in. It's much, much different from the Cormoran Strike novels. And so this kind of book by her, I know a lot of people, you guys have touched on it, have found it very, very difficult to read.
Yeah, I was actually just talking about this with a friend last night. We both read about the first 100 pages, and then we gave up. It was just like, I'm sorry, I can't do this, too bored. Sorry.
I made it about that far in, too. But that same month, actually, so before that announcement in April 2012, that was when Mike and I devised our big April Fool's joke that year. Was that we're going to say that the new novel has a different name because we didn't know the name of the book. It was announced then. And so we made that April Fool's article on MuggleNet called, The Lairs of Lady Poe, which I think is an anagram for April Fool's. Yeah, April Fool's Day. That's what it was. And the funny thing is I got my roommate's typewriter out. And spattered blood on the pages and typed the title, and it was supposed to be an image of like Joe's own manuscript. Mm-hmm. And we released it, and it got picked up. And I still found an article by EW just while we were talking there of the article because I don't know, it gained some widespread attention. But later that month, she announced the real title. So
that's funny. I didn't know.
I don't know. I'm not claiming that we forced her hand, but it was just funny that it's like not in the same way that Micah does all the time on Twitter. Right. Yeah.
I will watch The Casual Vacancy on HBO. Finally, I will know what happens in this.
Yeah.
It's a miniseries.
To be honest, that's also the reason why I never never went to actually read it once they announced they were filming a series because, like, the
Why
people
read
who have
when
read
you
it.
Can watch it on TV?
Well, right. It's, you know, it's
I'm joking. Much easier.
Precedent.
It's, I hear it. There's a lot of, like, parts in the book that are kind of, you know, they kind of stop the story a little bit. So,
look, I don't know about that, but it's grueling, like, the death of the main character. What's his name? Not Stanley Yelnats. That's Holes.
Fats.
What?
Fats? I'm just guessing. That's
no,
the only
no, no, no. The patriarch character. The
well, don't spoil it.
Oh, guy, Barry no, Fairbrother. Dies in very
Fairweather.
Fairweather.
Fairbrother. Yeah, whatever.
The death of this character starts the story.
Starts
right?
the story. Yeah. Okay. So that hopefully is not a spoiler. But I know that in the TV series, they're keeping him around a little longer.
Oh, so like they start a little earlier to
they
set
either,
up Barry?
They either start, yeah, they may start earlier and just show some of the like backstory things that are written in the book are probably going to be like first story, like beginning of the story.
Yeah.
And then they'll have his death somewhere in the middle of the series. But that, I mean, the book, if you read even the first chapter is him waking up with a headache, right? And then eventually dying. And there's nothing he can do because he succumbs to this really painful aneurysm in his head and he bleeds out and dies in front of his family.
Oh, that's
and it's
nice.
Like, it's the most like, yeah, it's so soul crushing
novel.
Yeah, but I think it's so crushing. And that was the point, I think, to some extent, Joe was trying for gritty.
What she's really trying for is, you know, taking a deep look at society and social issues. And I think that she really brings them to light. And that's what at times can make it very challenging to read because you know, these are very, very difficult situations that a lot of these characters are going through. And actually, I think, isn't Michael Gambon in the cast? I don't know of any other Potter actors, but I know I saw him on a preview when I was watching HBO the other day. So there may be some familiar faces for Potter fans that have been cast in the series.
Sold.
Yeah, but, I will watch the show.
They are also going to be – so it already aired in England. On BBC and
what are the how are the reviews for it?
Fine, I think they're fine. But they're also going to be adapting the Corman Strike novels, which I'm very excited about because there's
That'll
a wealth
cool.
of material there, and the books are actually like really good. So, okay,
what is that?
The Corman Strike Robert Galbraith,
her
whodunit books,
Falling and the Silkworm,
yeah.
And whatever the third one is.
Okay.
So J.K. Rowling wrote some other books under Robert Galbraith, and they are called The Cuckoo's Calling and The Silkworm.
They're really good, Matt. They're actually really, really good.
Did you not know that? You knew that.
I knew Cuckoo's Calling, and yeah, I think I did know about the Silkworm, too. I haven't read it. I mean, actually, I do have Cuckoo's Calling, and I did read a little bit of it, and I just lost interest.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
I've lost interest in you being on the show. Bye.
Oh, gosh, bye.
Oh, he's kicked out. There's like a flap in the floor that he falls through.
Yeah, no, everybody has to like the Robert Galbraith books. They're great.
Why?
They're really good. That's why. So, okay, now it's time for another new segment. Pen and paper are my priority. This is where we catch up on what J.K. Rowling's been doing on Twitter recently. She's been, I guess, busy. There hasn't been as many tweets, but she did a little rumor control recently. She somebody tweeted her with a image. I'm sure it's from – apparently it's from didyouknowblog.com, whatever the hell that is. So it said – in 2009, J.K. Rowling announced that Harry Potter lost his virginity in the second half of Goblet of Fire, but had to edit it out because her editor said it would cause parents to complain and called Bloomsbury during office hours. What does that even mean? We have to edit this out because people are going to call the Bloomsbury office? That's the so stupid. So somebody tweeted Joe saying, is this true? She replied, hashtag never happened. And then somebody replied to her, how would you know? Like sarcastically. And then J.K. Rowling said, fair question. He tells me everything. So Harry tells J.K. Rowling when he gets laid, apparently.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been 14.
Yeah, I think that. Well, yeah, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
So something else happened with a Hypeable writer. So Hypeable writer McCall went to her Lumos event in New York City, and she kind of like took a selfie with Joe in the background, and then she tweeted it at Joe. I think, you know, actually, come to think of it, she didn't even tweet it at Joe, so I wonder how Joe even noticed. Anyway, J.K. Rowling, for some reason, replied, "Were you as cold as I was?" Which, by the way, we were kind of freaking out because it was like, oh my God, J.K. Rowling replied. And then McCall said, "Your light gave me warmth. Thank you for all you do." And then J.K. Oh. Rowling replied with double X, as in kissness. Now, how cool is it to get a tweet like that from J.K. Rowling? I would print out this entire conversation on a t-shirt and wear it every day of my
life. Absolutely. 100%. Mm-hmm. 100%.
It's kind of like meeting the president.
Kind of, yeah.
Like Micah did last week.
Oh, was that? Oh, what? I see what you did there.
Meaning J.K. Rowling's better, I think.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Micah posted a picture, didn't you?
Who took the picture, Micah? Who took the picture? Because you're taking a picture in the photo, but somebody else is taking a picture of you that has Obama in it.
So the person taking that photo is one of our photographers.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like Emerson or something. Oh,
no, Obama is playing basketball at the White House, right? And Micah is there covering the event?
Yes.
No, he's playing with Obama.
you don't see. I actually jump out and reject the shot.
Let the president win, Micah. How many times do we have to tell you this?
So finally, a little update on the third Robert Galbraith book. Somebody tweeted her asking about it, and she said, Robert Galbraith says to tell you he's very close to finishing his third. He still doesn't know his Twitter password. I guess that explains why he hasn't tweeted in a while. So that was in mid-March. So I'm really excited for the third Robert Galbraith book. We got to be hearing about it soon.
God,
I'm getting anxious.
I'd rather her just finish the movie script that she's doing, too.
I'm sure she's working on both at the same time. So on Twitter, like we said earlier in the episode, we asked everybody, what do you think of Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander? Presumably it's going to happen. On Twitter, twitter.com/MuggleCast, we got lots of responses. CDON said, I was hoping they would cast a relatively unknown actor so we wouldn't have preconceived ideas and who could grow into the role. Anne said something we sort of said. Never imagined what Newt would look like. If only the actor portrays him like the loony kind of character I picture, I'm fine. Do you guys see him as loony?
I don't know about loony. Well,
I see him as a very curious person. If he's going to be doing this book, I feel like he might show like a little bit of a weird obsession over something that a lot of the people are confused about, or like, why are you so interested in doing this?
He's a character who is willing to get his hands dirty. Very puffy. Very, very Hufflepuffy.
I feel like he's got a little bit of Xenophilius Lovegood to him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I was going to say a cross between Xenophilius and, like, Sherlock Holmes.
This whole loony
thing. He's like a social outcast.
It's funny, because doesn't his grandson marry Luna?
Xenos does, right?
Newt's. Newt's grandson.
Rolf.
Isn't it Rolf?
Isn't it like a great grandson or something?
Rolf's
like that?
Commander. Yeah. It could be a great grandson. I'm not sure. Rolf's Commander ends up marrying Luna. But yeah, it's funny that they're like, this guy's a loony character, because that connection has already like taken root. Mm-hmm. He is somebody who he's an academic. He seeks knowledge. Not in necessarily the Ravenclaw way, but he seeks the truth of these beasts. He's doing a mass study of animals, which would separate him from the common folk, who would either ignore animals entirely or not pay as much attention to their habitat. It takes a lot of to study. Just thinking about, I'm watching that documentary called Life, which is narrated by Richard Attenborough, and just the knowing that the people, the camera crews who go to like the ends of the earth to film creatures that have never been filmed before, and learn about them and catch, like, it's just crazy, like the isolation, the anti-socialism that you have to have innate to you to be able to deal with the isolation. It sets up a different type of character. So yeah, I do think that he's a little loony in the sense that he is a little different from your average Joe who would be content interacting with other wizards.
Rohan Gotobed, who plays young Sirius Black in Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2, is actually a MuggleCast listener, and he replied, "Wouldn't complain, but feels a little safe. Would love to see a casting out of left field like Rory Kinnear."
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Rohan Gotobed. I don't know.
I mean, I do really understand what a lot of these listeners are coming from when you want like a relatively unknown person, because we always want to have a fresh face for a fresh character that we don't know. And it's a lot easier to cast a more well-established actor when you have a good basis on what the character is, because we as Harry Potter fans especially, we are notoriously guilty of constantly comparing the movies and the books and also like actors from the characters that they're going to portray. Like, we're notorious for it. But I completely understand why the studio decided to be safe and have a well-established actor who could find multiple levels of a character that we haven't seen before. So
yeah, one other question, and we may not be able to answer this now, that just kind of popped into my mind is this going to be more of an adult type of film? The Potter series could be classified as being a little bit more geared towards kids and young adults, let's say. Mm-hmm. But could, knowing that this role is somebody who's in their late 20s, early 30s, the series have a little bit more adult themes to it.
That's a good point, because, you know, a young adult starring in this, I think you're right. But if Warner Brothers wants this to be a big hit, they want the Harry Potter audience, the same Harry Potter audience.
Well, the same Harry Potter audience is in their mid to late 20s.
Right, but they're also trying to... they're going to want to get the younger kids too, because I mean, they're still, look at the illustrated editions. They're still trying to find new audiences for Harry Potter. So, but yes, that's a good point too, Matt. I mean, these people, the fans have grown up, so maybe the story should as well.
And the story of Harry Potter is the story of a young boy who has this journey. Like even the books themselves, if you compare the Deathly Hallows to the Philosopher's Stone, they're geared completely to a different age demographic, and that's the demographic, of course, is made by like society and how we tell, like, kids can only read kiddie things and innocent things. But the whole series is also like, the agenda of the Harry Potter series is that children can be exposed to very adult things as long as you know they understand the life lessons and everything. So I would love for it to be a more mature series.
Questions we just don't have answers for. So, okay. And then over on Facebook, just want to mention a couple more. People were holding out for Matt Smith. People were hoping that the Doctor Who alum would star. I definitely saw great potential in that. There was a rumor about that happening, but doesn't look like it.
Mm. Maybe he could be Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, really. And they'll be lovers and they'll set Tumblr on fire. And said, finally, "I might be delusional, but I'm still holding out hope for Dev Patel. He would be so good." So yep. Thanks everybody who participated on twitter.com/mugglecast and facebook.com/mugglecast. We're going to look ahead. Well, we had a calendar segment at the very end of the show, but we already spoke about the casual vacancy.
Oh, I can talk about something on the calendar.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, hold on. But first, we're going to plug a couple things.
Yes.
Like we mentioned at the start of the show, Matt and I are doing a podcast with Laura and Elisa called Millennial. You can go to millennialshow.com. We got a new episode every week and lots of bonus content if you donate to our Patreon. But more details about that after you get into Millennial. So check out the show. We're having a lot of fun talking about politics, entertainment, everything that's going
everything.
On.
But it's a great show. I recommend it.
Thanks, Micah.
And one other podcast that Eric and myself do along with our friend Zach Louis is Game of Owens. And given that the show starts its fifth season tonight, or whatever the timing is, depending on when you listen to this episode, we have a lot of fun. We've been doing it for a couple of years. But there's no time to get into it like now with the fifth season starting. You can find us, follow us, GameOfOwns.com, and then Twitter and Facebook, Game of Owns. So give us a listen. I'm sure if you enjoy the series, we plugged it earlier, you'll enjoy the podcast as well.
And I wanted to mention before we close out our show that this coming Saturday, that's April 18th, a very special event is heading to the UK. London's Excel Center will play host to MuggleNet's live event, first ever live event called Expo Patronum. And the big thing to know about this is that 17 members of the cast and crew of Harry Potter will be in attendance. So I'm going to list a couple of them here. Warwick Davis will be there. Natalia Tena will be there. Harry Melling, who played Dudley Dursley, will be there. Nick Moran, who played Scabier. Fan favorites like Chris Rankin, Rohan Gotobed will be there as well. And really just a whole bunch of others. On the crew side, we have Mina Lima, Mina Lima, the graphic artist for the Harry Potter films, and Gary Tompkins, who is the art director for Harry Potter as well, will all be there. This is a one-day event. It's, I think, 8 hours in length, and tickets start at £45. If you're in on or around London next Saturday, please check us out. And the website address for this is live.mugglenet.com. It's your last possible week to get tickets because the event, as I said, is on Saturday.
And just announced guest, Eddie Redmayne is coming.
Hey! God. Just kidding. Not yet. Not yet. I think we're working on him.
Let him read the script first, then you can start
bothering him. Yeah. Oh, and Alfred Enoch will be there too. And he's big on How to Get Away with Murder now. That's really exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
So looking at the calendar, like we said, J.K. Rowling's The Casual Vacancy television series hits HBO on April 29th. The first two parts will air back-to-back April 29th from 8 to 10 p.m. And the third and final part will air the following evening from 8 to 9 p.m. So it's a weekend event. You and The Casual Vacancy.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to buy my Casual Vacancy book, by the way, let me know. I'm trying to sell it.
Sign it. And that'll increase the value.
Sign it me, sign it J.K. Rowling, sign it Robert Galbraith. No, but seriously, I'm moving soon. I need to get rid of it.
Nobody say yes. You can't sell J.K. Rowling's book. You can't secondhand that.
I know. See, it's so funny. I was really torn. I was like, would I really sell a J.K. Rowling book?
Right?
I just
don't
know.
It took you a lot to go in, like a lot of effort just to go in that store, but to be denied.
Yeah.
That's a sign, dude. You should just stop.
So now I'm more determined than ever. Like, who will buy this?
Nobody buy Andrew's book.
And then, I mean, also, we don't have an exact date yet, but if you're looking for more J.K. Rowling writing, I would expect an announcement about that third Robert Galbraith book, which, as you can tell, I'm very excited for, and I won't be selling my copies of that.
On the next MuggleCast episodes, Pen and Paper Are My Priority segment, we'll find out when that book is coming.
I'm going to start tweeting her every day until she...
Maybe she'll buy your book.
I was trolling her last night. I was out. I had a few drinks and I got back and it was like 1:30 Pacific time. So it was like morning England time and J.K. Rowling was up tweeting. So I'm not proud of this one. I may delete this tweet.
Gosh.
So I like trolling her on Twitter. I like just tweeting her random stuff. One day she'll reply. And I tweeted her last night, did you hear this rumor about Eddie Redmayne playing Newt? I just don't know. # not my Newt. So I encourage everybody to start using the # not my Newt. But a couple people replied to me. They were like, gosh, what did she say? Oh, some people said, Andrew, what's wrong with you? Eddie is amazing. So people thought I was serious, but I was just kidding. All right, everybody. Well, on that note,
Well done.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of that.
That should be
the episode title. On that note.
On that note. You got it. Matt, thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll have you on again in the future.
That is great.
Sure. Thank you guys for having me.
Micah and Eric, thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll have you guys on again in the future.
I hope so. If our audition goes through.
And we'll see everybody next time in May for episode 278. Goodbye.
Woo. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.